I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is April 3rd, 2011. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, the trial of the Quran. This has been taken from the website of Dove World Outreach, Pastor Terry Jones. Due to Pastor Terry Jones' remarkable resemblance to Jed Clampett, I will be referring to him simply as Jed. His essay begins, "This is Dr. Terry Jones speaking from the judge's bench. America, in my opinion, has always been a country to stand up for what is right, not only for what is popular. But we have become a nation that stands for what is popular, that tests the wind to see if people like it or don't like it. In our churches, we have become politicians and not pastors. What do the people like? What do the people want? And that is what we do. I would like to emphasize that we are not a fast food restaurant. We do not try to find what the people want and then give it to them. We try to find out what is true, and then we try to stand to that truth, no matter what the cost is, no matter if you lose your job or you don't lose your job, whether you lose your life or you don't lose your life, whether people like you or they don't like you. Your job is to find out, to the best of your ability, what is the actual truth, and then you follow that truth, and you let God take care of everything else. Jed, if truth mattered even the least bit to you, you couldn't be a Christian. Believing in the Bible requires you to delude yourself into believing in things which are physically and logically impossible." He continues, "This has been set up like an American court. Whether you have liked it or not, we have been trying to follow that example. In an American court, you cannot be found innocent or guilty without a consequence. If you are found innocent, then the consequence, of course, is very comfortable. You get to go home and are free. At the same time, if you have been found guilty and have been charged with a very serious charge, as we have done today, you have been charged with murder. If you have been convicted of murder, you do not get to go home. It does not matter if you are loved, your mommy and daddy love you, you do not get to go home because you have killed someone. You have been convicted of murder, and because of that you will face punishment. You will go to jail. You will possibly someday be electrocuted, or you will be shot up with poison because you are a murderer. You have been convicted of murder. You will not get to go home. That is what justice is. That is why today, if the Quran is found guilty, we cannot just simply forgive. We cannot just simply say we have a verdict. That is it. We don't do anything else. We have had a happy trial. We must have a consequence. The Quran, then, must symbolically, through some type of action, be punished. Okay, Jed. But just remember that you are the one who laid down those rules." He continues, "I hope that is understandable. On our website, we had four choices of punishment. The Quran, if found guilty, will be burned, drowned, shredded, or face a firing squad. The public chose overwhelmingly the punishment of burning. It is a symbolic act of its guiltiness. If you feel that is wrong, if you do not like that, if you would like to distance yourself from that form of punishment, that is also perfectly okay. As we say, we live in America and people are free to do as they please within the confines of the law. If you do not agree with our trial and our burning, we live in a free country, then all you have to do is put together your own trial. Sorry, Jed, but that is called practicing law without a license, and that is against the law. So you are already in deep shit." And now Pastor Jones gives the verdict. The Quran has been accused of four different crimes against humanity. Number one, The Quran is charged with the training and promoting of terrorist activities around the world. To that charge, the Quran has been found guilty. Jed, your decision is backed by an insurmountable amount of evidence and is beyond challenge. However, the Bible, too, has a long history of training soldiers and promoting terrorism throughout the world, as evidenced by the Crusades, the Inquisition, the bombing of legal abortion clinics, and the murder of homosexuals, atheists, and others who refused to submit to its domination. Justice cannot be meted out selectively. You cannot convict the Quran of things that your own religion is just as guilty of. To paraphrase the words of Jesus, someone you seem never to have heard of, in John 8:7, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." Jed, you are not in a position to be casting stones at anyone. He continues with charge number 2. The Quran is charged with the death, rape, and torture of people worldwide whose only crime is not being of Islamic faith. To this charge, the Quran has been found guilty. Jed, once again, your verdict is above reproach. Yet, once again, you seem to have overlooked the fact that your Bible has also been the source of countless deaths throughout history all over the world. Your Bible also admits to the rape of large numbers of women on the orders of your God. And let's not forget that your Bible promises to torture billions of people forever, whose only crime is for not being of the Christian faith. Continuing, charge number 3, and this is the last one. He seems to have omitted number 4. The Quran is charged with crimes against women, against minorities, against Christians, and with the promoting of prejudice and racism against anyone who is not a Muslim. To this charge, the Quran has been found guilty. Jed, the Quran is truly guilty as charged of everything you listed. But wait, regarding crimes against women, I found this precious verse in your Bible, in Hosea 13:16. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword, their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. And wait, regarding crimes against minorities, I found these wonderful verses in your Bible, in Numbers 25:6-8. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. And wait, regarding promoting prejudice and racism against anyone who is not a Christian, I found this verse in 2 Chronicles 15:13, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Jed, your Bible didn't just promote prejudice and racism, it demanded the death penalty for non-Christians. But I will give your Bible credit for one thing. That is the only verse in the Bible where women get equal treatment with men. Continuing, Pastor Terry Jones said, "So in accordance with our courtroom law and having the example of American law, the Quran must be punished." Okay, Jed, but then you better be prepared to burn a Bible right alongside it, because your holy book was just as guilty as the Quran on all counts. He said, "Some people desire that the Quran be banned." Banning books never works, Jed. Horrible ideas must be dragged out into the open and forced to defend themselves. That is how you destroy evil ideas. That is the main purpose of freedom of speech. He continues, That would, of course, require another court case and more evidence, and is a very unusual request, especially in a land of freedom. Jed, that freedom thing sticks in your craw every time, doesn't it? That's because freedom is the worst enemy of religion. Any religion. He continues, it is not a totally impossible request. Around the world, certain books that are taken to be very harmful and very dangerous, for example, Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, is banned in Holland and in Germany. Jed, isn't it odd that your fellow Christians in the Vatican never put Mein Kampf on its index of banned books? Pastor Jones said, so it is not a usual act. It is not a common act. But it is something that could possibly someday in the United States take place if the Quran was proven to be of that harmful a nature. Jed, the Quran has already been proven to be of a harmful nature. That is not the issue. The issue is why you refuse to admit that an almost identical book, your Bible, is also not of a harmful nature. Except for the name of their gods, you can hardly tell them apart. He said, we will burn the Quran. Okay, Jed, fair enough. I'll agree as long as you bring enough lighter fluid along for both books. He continues, we know that there are people in this room and around the world who are not in agreement with our action. That for us is absolutely no problem. Jed, for the mentally challenged, almost nothing is a problem. He said, we live in America. It is a free country. Jed, that is true as long as you are not an atheist, homosexual, unmarried pregnant woman, or worship the wrong invisible ghost. Otherwise, you are correct. It is completely free for overweight, undereducated, middle-aged white men. He continues, you have every right to agree or disagree. As far as our friends, and I consider them close friends, as far as Truth TV is very much opposed. Not to the trial, obviously, not to the aspect that the Quran is obviously very guilty, that the Quran is guilty of all of these charges, but that they are against the actual burning of the Quran. Jed, that's what happens when you work with people with an extra digit in their IQ. He said, so the actual burning of the Quran will not be live streamed by them. That is why we have our own live stream for this part of the event. I would now like to turn it over to Ahmed so he can express his feelings about this matter. Now the words of Ahmed Abaza, the defense attorney for the Quran. Thank you, Dr. Terry. You know, it is not about a feeling, it is about our goals. Our goal is to burn the Quran in a Muslim's mind and a Muslim's heart, not just to burn the paper. You can burn millions of copies tomorrow. So we are not part of this, not because we are with the Muslims. No, we believe we have to clean the ideas of the Quran from the Muslims. That is why I ask if you could end with calling the Quran to be banned. So our goal, and what I carry all these years, and us as ex-Muslim people, is to destroy the Quran's heart. We judge the Quran as false, but not the paper. Thank you. Jed, that guy sounded almost as feeble as you. And how did you get him to say that? Are you holding his family hostage? Terry Jones continues, thank you very much. I would like to emphasize that is absolutely no problem for us. I would like to emphasize that us and Truth TV, I believe we are on every topic concerning the Quran in 100% unity, except this particular aspect of the burning. As we have said, the Truth TV is definitely against the burning of the Quran. That is actually fine. So they can, at this time, discontinue their live stream and those who want can leave the room. Let me emphasize again that it is not that we burn the Quran with some type of vindictive motive. We do not even burn it with great pleasure or any pleasure at all. We burn it because we feel a deep obligation to stay with the court system of America. The court system of America does not allow convicted criminals to go free. The punishment was chosen by the people. If anyone, including our defense attorney and his family, feel highly offended and angered by this action, they are more than welcome to leave at this time. We would excuse them. We thank them very much for their participation. Anyone else who is angered and offended by this action, you are more than welcome to leave. And the last statement of the article is, a few people did leave the hall. The rest watched in silence as the kerosene-soaked book burned. Jed, it was only a few centuries ago when you Christians were doing that to human beings. Try to picture good Christians gathered around some unfortunate woman, watching in silence as she burned to death in agony. With a history like that, you aren't in a position to be judging anyone. And now for my essay on the Muslim response to Florida's Quran burning. After Jed and his hillbillies burned the Quran, it wasn't long before Muslims on the other side of the world in Afghanistan reacted with typical zombie-like violence. Innocent people who had nothing to do with the Quran burning were murdered by mobs of people who actually cut their heads off. This situation is a repeat of the fiasco in 2005 when Muslims decided that the proper way to respond to cartoons depicting their prophet in an unfavorable light was to go on a killing rampage while carrying signs referring to themselves as the religion of peace. Since that time, Muslims have been lobbying hard at the UN to make it a crime to insult their religion. Ironically, that doesn't stop them from insulting Jews, Christians, and any others who refuse to submit to their God. Two Pakistani politicians have been murdered for trying to put an end to the law which demands the death penalty for heresy. Polls show that most Pakistanis support stoning for crimes such as heresy. This culture war is very real. Just ask the families of the murdered victims. Radical Muslims openly state that their goal is world domination, and they are using all means necessary, including intimidation and murder, to force the free world to give up its hard-won rights of freedom of speech and freedom of religion. The penalty in their sick little culture for daring to exercise either freedom is death. Death for heresy and death for apostasy. And they feel they have the right to enforce their perverted beliefs from the Dark Ages on the rest of us, no matter where on earth we live. As you may have noticed, I have about as much respect for Jed and his clan as I do for maggots in my garbage. But he stands head and shoulders above the sick fucks who used his idiocy as an excuse to commit barbaric murders. Radical Muslims burn our flag and chant death to America. Yet they are too stupid to see their own obvious hypocrisy when they intentionally offend others. They are the most offensive culture on earth, but they cry like little children if anyone dares to give them a dose of their own medicine. And when they stop crying, they murder. If you moderate Muslims do not want to be stereotyped with radicals, then stand up against the evil being done in the name of your religion. When you remain silent, you give everyone the impression that you secretly approve of the violence. Put the blame squarely where it belongs, on those disgusting monsters who are soiling the name of your religion. My final words are for the apologists, many of whom are non-Muslim. When one nutjob in Florida burns a book, you apologists run as fast as you can to the Muslims and assure them that it was okay to butcher and behead those innocent people because you understand how offended they were. You people make me want to puke. Jed and his clan were guilty of being idiots, but they are not responsible for the violent acts of the subhumans. You apologists are floating the excuse that Jed is responsible because, and I quote, he should have known what his actions might cause. That excuse is an argument from consequences and is therefore a logically invalid argument. When your position is based on a logical fallacy, you are done. You don't get to ignore the fallacy and try to argue around it. A logical fallacy kills any argument. Go back to the drawing board and construct an argument that is logically valid. Then you can come back and present it. Until then, grow a set. And now we move to the science segment. How neurons decide how to transmit information. There are billions of neurons in the brain, and at any given time, tens of thousands of these neurons might be trying to send signals to one another. Much like a person trying to be heard by his friend across a crowded room, neurons must figure out the best way to get their message heard above the din. Researchers from the Center for the Neural Basis of Cognition, a joint program between Carnegie Mellon University and the University of Pittsburgh, have found two ways that neurons accomplish this, establishing a fundamental mechanism by which neurons communicate. The findings have been published in an online early edition of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Neurons face a universal communications conundrum. They can speak together and be heard far and wide, or they can speak individually and say more. Both are important. Researchers wanted to find out how neurons choose between these strategies. Neurons communicate by sending out electrical impulses called action potentials, or spikes. These spikes code information much like a version of Morse code, with only dots and no dashes. Groups of neurons can choose to communicate information in one of two ways, by spiking simultaneously or by spiking separately. To find out how the brain decided which method to use to process a sensory input, the researchers looked at mitral cell neurons in the brain's olfactory bulb, the part of the brain that sorts out smells and a common model for studying global information processing. Using slice electrophysiology and computer simulations, the researchers found that the brain had a clever strategy for ensuring that the neuron's message was being heard. Over the short timescale of a few milliseconds, the brain engaged its inhibitory circuitry to make the neurons fire in synchrony. This simultaneous correlated firing creates a loud but simple signal. The effect was much like a crowd at a sporting event chanting, "Let's go team," over short time intervals. Individual neurons produced the same short message, increasing the effectiveness with which activity was transmitted to other brain areas. The researchers say that in both human and neuronal communication alike, this collective communication works well for simple messages, but not for longer or more complex messages that contain more intricate information. The neurons studied used longer timescales, around 1 second, to convey these more complex concepts. Over longer time intervals, the inhibitory circuitry generated a form of competition between neurons, so that the more strongly activated neurons silenced the activity of weakly activated neurons, enhancing the differences in their firing rates and making their activity less correlated. Each neuron was able to communicate a different piece of information about the stimulus without being drowned out by the chatter of competing neurons. It would be like being in a group where each person spoke in turn. The room would be much quieter than a sports arena, and the immediate audience would be able to listen and learn much more complex information. Researchers believe that the findings can be applied beyond the olfactory system to other neural systems, and perhaps even be used in other biological systems. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Alice Walker, born 1944, she is 67 years old. Walker is an African-American author and poet. She has written both fiction and essays about race and gender. She is best known for the critically acclaimed novel The Color Purple, published in 1982, for which she won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction. And now for the quote from Alice Walker. "It is chilling to think that the same people who persecuted the wise women and men of Europe, its midwives and healers, then crossed the oceans to Africa and the Americas, and tortured and enslaved, raped, impoverished, and eradicated the peaceful, Christ-like people they found, and that the blueprint from which they worked, and still work, was the Bible."
Are you ready, Bruce?